right, so we've been in this series for the last couple of weeks that we're calling DNA. We're really looking at the stuff that's inside of us that makes us who we are as believers, as Christians. And, of course, one of the things that we know about DNA is that it gets passed on from generation to generation, from fathers to sons, from mothers to daughters. And some of the DNA that we identify as believers today is really stuff that's been passed down to us by who we might call the church fathers, some great men and women of God who began to understand Scripture maybe in a new way, or maybe the Holy Spirit began to put some emphasis that in this day, in this hour, in this generation, we really need to focus on some things, and they heard that and began to bring that new focus to those parts of God's Word. For instance, part of our DNA is that we are Lutheran. You say, what do you mean we're Lutheran? We're Pentecostal, Pastor. You know, the Lutheran church. We're not at the Lutheran denomination. I didn't say we're Lutheran denomination. I said we're Lutheran going back to a Catholic priest some 500 years ago by the name of Martin Luther, who recognized that there were some mistakes that the church was making. One of the things that really upset him was that people were buying their way into heaven. And he realized, wait a minute, you can't buy salvation. And so he says there's this one way that the Bible says that we're saved, and that is justification by faith alone in the person of Jesus Christ. And he began to emphasize that, and that became the impetus for the modern Protestant, all of the Protestant denominations who were protesting against this wrong that was in the existing church at that time. And so we accept that's part of our DNA. We are Lutheran in as much as we believe that there's only one way of salvation. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. You can never be good enough on your own. There's only one way to be saved, and that's to surrender your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Ask Him to wash you, cleanse you of all of your sins, come into your heart and be your Lord and Savior, and then follow Him as a faithful disciple from that day forward. So we're Lutheran. We're also Wesleyan, and that goes back to the 18th century. An evangelist, a theologian by the name of John Wesley, who began to recognize it's not enough to be saved like Luther says that we need to be saved, but then we need to start walking right and talking right and living right. And so Wesley began to emphasize the scriptures that dealt with sanctification or personal holiness. And in fact, he coined the phrase perfect love to describe this sanctified, holy walk that we're supposed to have in the Lord. And so that is a part of our DNA. We embrace that as a people, that we're supposed to live holy lives. That's not rules and regulations. We're not talking about legalism here, but we're talking about perfect love, the love of God inside of us that begins to cause us to want to live as perfectly as we could possibly live. Which brings us to the word that I really want to emphasize today about who we are, what our DNA is, and that is Pentecostal. We are Pentecostal. I hope that doesn't come as a surprise to anybody in the room here today that we're Pentecostal in our beliefs. From time to time in our services, we'll see Pentecostal manifestations take place. We'll have tongues interpretation, words of prophecy, healing, various things, the gifts of the Spirit flowing. In fact, in the first service this morning, we just had a whole bunch of that. It was almost like the Holy Spirit showed up and says, hey, Tommy, you're not going to really be able to preach this message very good, so let me just do a little demonstration here about who I really am. But we are Pentecostal. What does that mean, Pastor Tommy? What do you mean Pentecostals? Does that mean we're those tongue speakers? Well, yes, it does. But that's not all that Pentecostal means. In fact, can I suggest to you that if all you know about Pentecost is speaking in tongues, you've not really got the full dynamic of what God had for you. There's so much more. Yes, that's a part of it, but there's so much more. And so when we say Pentecostal, we're talking about what Jesus promised to his disciples in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, when he said, tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And so he says, and then once that power comes, you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. But you need to get a power source, because I'm calling you to do something that's bigger than you are. Something that you can't do in your own strength, in your own ability, in your own wisdom. You need my help, and I'm going to give it to you. He is the Holy Spirit. And then we see the fulfillment of that taking place starting in Acts chapter 2. I say starting in Acts chapter 2. That was the day of Pentecost, where we see the initial outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the church, the birth of the church. But then as you read through the rest of the New Testament, as you read through the rest of the book of Acts, you see this ongoing, continual manifestation of this outpouring of the Holy Spirit, people being baptized in the Spirit, filled in the Spirit. So when we talk about being Pentecostal, we're talking about embracing this outpouring of the Holy Spirit, this living second person of the Trinity inside of us that empowers us to do whatever it is that God is calling us to do. And it may be reaching the nations, but it may just be overcoming some of the personal issues that we have in our own lives, and we need a little bit of extra help. And so the Holy Spirit says, I'll help you with that as well. So we are Pentecostal. We embrace the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. We love the worship with the freedom that comes. But let me just say something about being Pentecostal. And that is that being Pentecostal does not mean that you are weird. If you're weird, you're just weird. Don't blame it on being Pentecostal. Okay? And being Pentecostal does not mean being flaky. I heard some people describe Pentecostal churches as what, some kind of a cereal that was filled with fruits, nuts, and flakes. Sometimes it can look like that, but I just want to make it really clear today. Being Pentecostal does not mean being weird, nutty, fruity, flaky. It doesn't mean any of those things. It means that we've got the real Holy Spirit living inside of us. Let me just say something else. Yeah, go ahead and give the Lord a hand of praise for that. But let me just say something else. If you are being weird, and you're getting all of the attention in the room, I'm going to suggest that that's probably out of order. I'm going to say probably. Sometimes God does some things that are a little outside the box, and I want to give that room. But the Holy Spirit, when you look and see what the Holy Spirit does, he does not draw attention to his own self. He points people to Jesus. And so when we're under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, when we're operating as Pentecostals, it ought not to be say, hey, look at me, everybody. Woo, I can speak in tongues. I can prophesy. I can heal the sick. If it's about you, you've missed it. It ought to be all about pointing people to Jesus. Amen. That's worth a hand clap right there. And so I'm glad today that we are Pentecostal. Now, next Sunday is Pentecost Sunday, and every time Pentecost Sunday rolls around, there's this part of me that's like, God, is this the Sunday where you might just decide you're going to do it again? Anybody else, you kind of had that, Lord, could this be the time where, like the Holy Spirit fell on the day of Pentecost? Maybe that's going to happen today. We're going to show up, and the Holy Spirit's just going to be like a bomb that just goes off in the middle of the church, and people just slain in the Spirit, and all kinds of crazy things are crazy, but not weird. And people are getting saved, and just all kinds of incredible things happening. So I'm like, that's next week, God. Wouldn't it be great if you did that? Of course, I'm reminded that when that happened, the church had been in a prayer meeting for like the last 10 days all together. The church was unified, and that was part of what made that even become possible. And so there's this part of me that's kind of like, you ever been watching TV and a preview, comes on, a trailer comes on of an upcoming movie, and it's got enough of the highlight features of what's going on that makes you go, man, that looks pretty good. I think I'd like to see that. And so you're like, man, when is that coming out? Next week, all right, I'm going to be there. I want to kind of whet your appetite a little bit today. I want to kind of give a little trailer, a little preview of just kind of the fact that the Holy Spirit does want to empower us as believers. And who knows what might happen next week, but let me just tell you something. You don't even have to wait till next week. Today could be the day. The Holy Spirit just moves in your life. And you know something? When God moves in your life, it doesn't even matter if he moved anywhere else, right? At that moment, it was like, thank you, Jesus, for what you just did for me today. So I want to do something that's maybe a little weird. Again, not that I'm weird, because the Holy Spirit in Pentecost is not weird, but a little different, and that is I want to introduce you to Pentecost by going into the Old Testament. I want to introduce you to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and what can happen when believers are empowered by the Spirit of the Lord, not just by going to the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. I want us to go back hundreds, even thousands of years before that and see that God had been kind of putting the teasers out for a while. God had been doing his own previews for a while before we ever get to what happens there in the book of Acts. The first teaser, as it were, the first introduction to the Holy Spirit is in Genesis chapter 1, first book of the Bible, first chapter of the Bible, verses 1 and 2, and look at what it says in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Here we are, introduced in verse 2 to God the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God hovering over the earth. Things hadn't come together yet. There was still mass chaos, it looks like, when we read this. We haven't got to the let there be light part and let the darkness and all of the separation, the waters and the earth. We hadn't got to that part yet. So there's this chaos, and the Spirit of the Lord is hovering, is the word that's used here. That word is often sometimes translated brooding, like a hen that's sitting over a nest of eggs, brooding those, waiting for them to come alive. And it's like that's that anticipation that the Holy Spirit is wanting to bring something alive. And we get to the point where God creates man, and man's, you know, been created out of the dirt. And then God does something really amazing. It says, and God breathed into man, and he became a living spirit. And the word there for breathe or breath is this Old Testament word ruach, from which we actually get Holy Spirit, from the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of God breathed inside of us. So from the very beginning, God wanted to live inside of us. He doesn't just want to live inside of us. He wants to empower us. And we begin to see glimpses of that. For instance, you advance a few chapters in the Bible, you get to a man by the name of Moses. Moses has a special calling on his life. He's been called to lead the nation of Israel, over 500,000 people, out of their Egyptian bondage and into a promised land that God is giving to them. The same land, by the way, that's being fought over right now as we speak. But it was God's promise to Israel, I'm giving you this land permanently and forever. But in the journey there, there was a lot of stuff, 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. And Moses was responsible for guiding the people, helping them to find food, protection, all of those things. But Moses couldn't do it by himself. He had to have the help of God. He needed the anointing and the empowering of the Holy Spirit. And Moses was anointed by the Holy Spirit. You say, how do you know that? Because we're going to come, and I'm going to read it here in just a moment, to a place where it was too much for Moses by himself. And so God comes up with this plan and says, I want to take of the spirit that is on Moses, and we're going to put that same spirit on 70 elders, 70 other leaders to help out in the work. How many of you have enough Holy Ghost in you that God could take enough of it away to fill 70 other people? Moses had enough of that in his life, that God could take the spirit that was in Moses and distribute it into 70 other people. I'm not making this up. It's found in the book of Numbers. Let's read it, starting in chapter 11, verse 24. So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord. Also, he gathered 70 men of the elders of the people and stationed them around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him Then he took of the Spirit who was upon him. Who is him here? This is a test. The Spirit that was upon him was the Spirit that's upon Moses. The Lord takes of the Spirit that's upon him, upon Moses, and placed him. There's a different look there. What's different about him and him? The second him is capitalized. The second him is he, the second person, not it. He, the Holy Spirit, is taken from Moses and then placed upon the 70 elders. It says, and when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied. They did not do it again. It's kind of like this initial infilling of the Holy Spirit, and something manifests, and they begin to speak like they had never spoken before. Not in other tongues, it doesn't say here, but they began to prophesy. A unique thing that's never happened to them before as the Spirit of the Lord rests on them. Verse 26, but two men had remained in the camp. The name of one was Eldad and the name of the other Medad. And the Spirit rested upon them. Now, they were among those who had been registered but had not gone out to the tent. And they prophesied in the camp. So here are these guys. They're supposed to be at this service, but they're late for church that day. They didn't make it on time. They're still back in the camp. I don't know. Maybe they blamed it on their wives who were still fixing their hair. I'm not really sure what happened. But for whatever reason, maybe the kids were just not cooperating that morning, couldn't get them in the car, couldn't find their shoes. I don't know what it was, but these guys aren't there at church yet. But the Spirit of the Lord falls on them because they're a part of this group that's supposed to have the Spirit fall upon them. So a young man ran and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad. Whenever I see me dad, I just want to say my dad for whatever reason. But anyhow, me dad are prophesying in the camp. Then Joshua the son of Nun, the attendant of Moses from his youth, said, Moses, my Lord, restrain them. And this is so important. Look at what's said by Moses here in verse 29. But Moses said to him, are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his Spirit upon them. Do you hear what Moses is saying here? Moses is saying, hey man, don't be jealous of me that, you know, I'm the only one that's got it. Now these other 68 and now these other two. No, don't get all upset about that just because we've got it. Here's what I really wish. I wish the Spirit of the Lord would fall on all of God's people. That they would all be filled with the Spirit of the Lord. That they would all even prophesy, he says. And that just takes me to the book of Joel, where Joel says something about what's going to happen in the last days. And God says, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. That's right, all people. He talks about your sons, your daughters, the handmaids, the young, the old, the young are going to dream dreams, the old are see visions, the old are going to dream dreams. I mean, it's all ages, all everybody. And in fact, when Peter is preaching on the day of Pentecost and people say, what has gone on here that we see all this stuff that's happening, he pulls out Joel as his text and he says, this is what Joel was prophesying about. The day that God had been wanting to do this. He's been wanting to do this for thousands of years. He wanted to do it in Moses' day. He wanted to do it in Joel's day. And here we are. He's pouring out his Spirit on everybody. There's so many other examples that I could give to you. Samson, for instance, is another man who has the Spirit of the Lord comes upon him mightily, the Bible says, on various occasions. And I got a lot of scriptures. If you're following along in the app, you're going to see lots of scriptures there. I'm going to just kind of tell the story without reading it all. But on one occasion, he's walking along the road, and all of a sudden, this lion jumps out at him, and the Spirit of the Lord comes on Samson. And Samson rises up and just rips the lion to shreds. It says as though it was just a lamb, an innocent lamb. Barehanded, no weapon. Just the power of God, the anointing of the Spirit of the Lord that falls upon him. You know, I'm not suggesting that we need to go to Africans start looking for lions to demonstrate, you know, I saw a picture from Crystal. Yeah, was that cougar or bobcat or whatever it was in your neighborhood, huh? She took a photo of one, and everybody's like, yeah, let's go, you know, demonstrate the spirit of the Lord on that cougar. No, I'm not suggesting that. Here, kitty. I'm not suggesting that, but here's what I do know. There is one that the Bible identifies who is like a roaring lion who seeks whom he may devour. His name is Satan. He'd like to destroy you, rip you in shreds. But I want to tell you that when the Spirit of the Lord comes mightily upon us, when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, whatever the enemy wants to throw against us, we can rise up, not with our own abilities, not with our own what have you, but in the power and the anointing of the Lord, and we can defeat anything that the devil throws at us. There was another occasion in Samson's life where he killed 30 men that were the enemy, that were Philistines. Another occasion where he killed 1,000 men. That time he had a weapon. It was a bone. That's all it was. He found a bone from a donkey's skull, and there was a jawbone that was left there, and he picked it up and used it and killed 1,000 men. Now, I'm not suggesting that we need the Holy Spirit so that we can kill all of our enemies. That you know, we got the fruit of the Spirit inside of us, patience and long-suffering and gentleness and meekness and kindness. And so we need those spirit. But the fact is that God wants to empower us to do whatever it is that we need to do to advance the kingdom of God. We could keep looking in the Old Testament at more. Saul, the first king of Israel, was a shy, bashful guy, big, tall, good-looking fella. But when it came time for him to be anointed to be the king, he's hiding out backstage somewhere. And I had to go find him. Hey, come on, dude, you're the hit guy for the hour. And he's like, no, I don't want to do it. He was bashful, shy, he was introverted. But the Bible describes that when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, he began to walk with the school of the prophets. He came along a band of prophets, and all of a sudden Saul begins to prophesy as well. And everybody's like amazed, like, what's going on in Saul's life? This guy's got a changed heart. He's prophesying. We've never heard him prophesy before. Listen, I'm going to tell you, when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, you might do some things you've never done before. But it'll be okay, because it's going to be the Lord. It'll be the Lord that's at work in your life. And then we come upon David, and David in 1 Samuel chapter 16, it says that Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. Everything that David did for the rest of his life, well, I say everything he did. There was a few things that he did not do under the anointing of the Lord. You remember the story of David's life. There were some mistakes that he made. He was up on the roof looking at Bathsheba when he shouldn't have been. But the things that he did mightily for God, he did because the Spirit of the Lord came upon him from that day forward and empowered him to advance the kingdom of Israel. I want to tell you, the Lord's wanting to advance his kingdom today. The Lord wants to advance his kingdom today. The Lord wants to advance his kingdom today. If we were ever living in a day or an hour where we need the power of the Holy Spirit to help us to accomplish what God wants to do on the earth, we're living in that day. If Saul needed him in his day, if David needed him, if Moses needed him, if Samson needed him, then we certainly in this day, in this hour, when everything that's going on in the earth, more people on the earth than ever before who all need to know about Jesus, chaos reigning, sin reigning, we need the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives today. I'm glad that this Pentecostal power is available to us. It's in our DNA. Amen. Amen. So let me give you a couple of big ideas and I'm going to close up. Big idea number one is that God calls us to do big tasks. Asking Moses to lead the nation of Israel, that was a pretty big task. Saying to Samson, hey, deliver the nation from the Philistines, that's a pretty big task. To say to David, establish the kingdom of Israel, that was a pretty big task. And there are times where God comes to us with some pretty big tasks. When Jesus looked at his disciples and said, I want you to tarry in Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high, the reason is because he had given them a pretty big task. They were to go into all of the world and make believers of every creature. They were to preach the gospel to every creature, baptize them. That was a pretty big task. How are we going to do it? We don't have social media. We don't have newspapers. We don't have a printing press. We don't have cell phones. We don't have any of the stuff. How are we going to do that? Oh, you got something better than that. You've got the Holy Spirit that I am giving you who will help you with this very big task. So, number one, sometimes God calls us to do big tasks. Maybe the Lord's calling you to do something today. And you're going, I don't know if I can do it or not. That's beyond me. I'm introverted. I'm shy. I'm bashful. I don't have the means. I don't have the education. You can make all the excuses that you want. But I'm telling you, the Lord's calling us to do some mighty things for his glory. But here's the second thing that I want to tell you. And that is, God doesn't just call us to do big tasks, but he gives us the empowering of the Holy Spirit to do those big tasks. He doesn't just say, build this building. But I'm not going to give you any nails. I'm not going to give you any wood. I'm not going to give you any tools. No, he gives us everything that we need. Holy Spirit wants to empower us, church. He wants to give us everything that we need to be powerful and effective as we not just do big things for the kingdom of God, but how many of you know that sometimes it's just a big thing for us to overcome some personal stuff in our own life? You ever had a battle with some personal stuff in your own life and you felt like, I don't know if I've got the power to do that, or I don't know how I'm going to do that? I'm going to tell you how you can do that: through the power of the Holy Spirit at work in you. God wants to empower us by his Spirit. You know, one more pre-day of Pentecost individual filled with the Spirit of the Lord that made a difference in his world. And his name's Jesus. Jesus. I don't know if you've ever thought about it or not. A lot of times we look at it and think, well, Jesus did all the great things that he did because he was Jesus. I mean, because he was the Son of God. I mean, he's the creator. He can do anything he wants to do. Except when we read the scripture, we realize that when Jesus came into the earth, he basically took a step back and says, you know, I still am who I am. I'll never stop being who I am as God. But I'm not going to call on my deity to accomplish the things that need to be done in the earth. I'm gonna show mankind what man can do under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Let me just lay that out for you. I got like 3 minutes and I'm through. First of all, Jesus was uniquely anointed by the Spirit of the Lord. According to Luke chapter 3, verse 21, when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my son whom I love. With you I am well pleased." That was a unique baptism. It was more that happened than him just being baptized in water. And by the way, if you say, well, Jesus didn't need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Well, hello, he didn't need to be baptized in water either. He was sinless, right? He didn't need to be baptized. He was setting an example for us. And now he's being filled with the Holy Spirit. He didn't need to be. He was Jesus. He was God. He was full of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, but he was setting an example for us. Now, pick this up. Keep reading chapter 4, next chapter, verses 1 and 2. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness where he's tempted for those 40 days. Look what's going on. Here is Jesus, full of the Spirit, being led by the Spirit after this baptism of the Spirit at the Jordan River. Now let me keep reading. In the rest of that chapter, going on to verses 14 to 19. Jesus ministers in the power of the Spirit. Look at it. Verse 14, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. And then Jesus takes the scriptures and he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he's anointed me. You cannot escape this, folks. Let me give you one last scripture, then I'm going to close. It's Acts chapter 10, verse 38. And it talks about how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. Now, I want you to see something here. It doesn't say because he was God. It says because God was with him. Jesus, the Son of God, became the Son of Man. And by the way, that was his favorite title for himself, the Son of Man. Jesus, the Son of God, became the Son of Man without ever ceasing to be the Son of God. And the Bible says that he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And he went about doing good, healing the sick, all of the things that he did in his ministry. He did it not because he was God, but because God was with him, filled with the Spirit of the Lord. Now listen, I'm not going to suggest to you that you could go and die on a cross for the sins of humanity because none of us are perfect. That's the thing that only Jesus could do. But all of the other things, you talk about prophesying, you talk about healing the sick, you talk about raising the dead, you talk about casting out demons, you talk about signs and wonders and miracles and all the things that are part of the Pentecostal experience. I want to tell you, all of those things are available to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Would you stand with me? So, Lord, we know that you want to do some big things, bigger than we are. And so we need your help. But you have promised us the Holy Spirit to empower us, to baptize us, to fill us, to equip us to do whatever it is that you've asked us to do. He, the Holy Spirit, is our power source. You've not left us to do this alone. We get to walk with you. We get to experience you. Lord, I thank you for those that are in this room today who've experienced the fullness of Pentecost. Lord, who've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit. They're walking in the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit in their everyday lives. And Lord, you're doing some incredible things in them and through them. Lord, I just pray like Paul talked to the Ephesians when he talked about being continually being filled with the Holy Spirit. Lord, that those of us who have been filled, Lord, that there's a renewing, there's a refreshing, there's a refilling of your Holy Spirit that comes. Lord, so that we can walk in that power of Pentecost. And I pray that, Lord. If there's someone here today who says, yeah, I remember when there was a time when I was really walking in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. God's power was fresh in my life. I had that intimacy. I had that closeness with the Lord, but it's just a memory. It used to be. I hadn't turned my back on God, but it's been a while. Lord, let there be a refreshing, a renewing. Lord, that like the same disciples that were in that upper room in Acts chapter 2, just a couple chapters later, they're back in the upper room again. And it says that you shook the place like an earthquake. And everybody that was there got filled with the Holy Spirit. Whether they had been filled on Acts chapter 2 or not, everybody that's there got filled. Some of them for the first time maybe. Some of them just refilled again. I pray, Lord, a refilling, a rebaptizing of your Spirit of the Lord in our lives. Lord, those of us who knew that and have walked in that and it's not what it used to be, Lord, whet our appetites again. Stir us, Holy Spirit, of what you want to do inside of us today. Lord, those who this may be news to them, first-time news, never heard of this baptism of the Holy Spirit thing. And here we are hearing about it for maybe the first time, or maybe you've heard about it, but never actually been filled with the Holy Spirit, wondered if it was really for me or not. Lord, Holy Spirit, just quicken them to say, I want you, Holy Spirit, in my life. I need your power. I need your anointing. I need that enablement that goes above my own ability so I can walk out this life personally in victory, but then be used of you however you want to use me to advance your kingdom. God, I pray that you would just whet our appetites. Holy Spirit, begin to stir inside of us. Maybe there's some that need to just spend some time in prayer. Some who need to spend some time in the Word, just seeking this thing out. Finding out, is this real? Is this for now? Is this for today? Lord, prepare us for Pentecost. Prepare us for Pentecost, I pray. As every head is bowed and eyes are closed, I may be talking to some people today. It's like everything you've talked about is kind of beyond me, Pastor Tommy, because I don't even have the Spirit of the Lord that comes at salvation, which He does. The Spirit of the Lord comes at our salvation. We're born again. We're born of the Spirit, the Bible says. It's not the fullness of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but it's the beginning of the Holy Spirit coming into our lives. Maybe you say, I've never been saved. I've never been born again. Today's your day. There's no better time than right here and right now to surrender your life to the Lordship of Jesus and say, Jesus, come into my heart and wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of all my sin. Be my Lord and be my Savior. I wonder this morning if there's somebody in this room today who would say, yes, Pastor Tommy, that's what I need more than anything else. I just need to start this relationship with the Lord, and I'm ready to start it today. Would you just raise your hand, pray for me. I want to be born again. Anyone in this room this morning? I always do this because I just never know. I never know how the Holy Spirit's moving. Anyone in this place today, Holy Spirit's knocking on your heart's door, saying, just let me in. I'll change your life. I'll change your life. I'll fix the brokenness. Anyone this morning? Maybe there are those that are watching online today, and that's where you are. You need to surrender to the Lordship of Jesus. Can we just all pray this prayer right now and make this your own? Lord, I just surrender to you now. I invite you, Holy Spirit, come into my life and wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of all my sins. Jesus, I invite you into my heart. Be my Lord, be my Savior. I want to live for you. I want to be a Jesus follower for the rest of my life. Heal the brokenness inside of me, Lord, as I surrender to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm going to ask our prayer team if you'll come and join me down at the front. And I want to just give an opportunity for the Lord to do what the Lord wants to do in your life. If you're here today and you didn't raise your hand, but you invited Jesus into your heart, let that prayer team know. We've got some material we'd love to give you to help you in your walk with the Lord. Maybe you're here and you're going, I want a refilling of the Holy Spirit. Would you just pray for me for a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit? Maybe you're saying, hey, I've never been filled with the Holy Spirit before, and I'd like to be filled with the Spirit. Again, you don't have to wait till Pentecost Sunday for that to happen. God's ready to meet you where you are. Or maybe there's any other of a thousand things going on in your life, and you need prayer. I tell you, one of the things that we know, one of the things that's in our DNA is we know the power of prayer. So I'm just going to close this service in prayer. And again, if you need prayer for anything, I invite you to come down to the front and let us pray with you. Lord, God, we just love you today. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you that we're Pentecostal. And Lord, that doesn't just mean we speak in tongues. Lord, it means that we got the whole package. We got everything that comes with being Pentecostal. The power to witness, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, all of the things that you want to activate in our lives. So empower us to do what you've called us to do that's bigger than what we could do by ourselves. And so we just welcome you, Holy Spirit. Do what you want to do in us. Help us, Lord, to not just be Pentecostal in our DNA, not to just be Pentecostal in our name, but the Lord be Pentecostal in the way we live our lives for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. See you next week at Spirit Life Church.